And welcoming to the Revel Wireless Hotline, Terry Pluto, sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Terry, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Vic.
Well, we've got a lot to cover with you, Terry, because we haven't spoken in a little bit, and certainly not since a lot of all the changes that have taken place on the coaching staff and so forth. I want your big picture take of what you see this team doing with hiring Rob Chudzinski and putting together the staff it has.
Well, I like the coaching staff very much because most of the time the coaches were going to get hired were probably guys that really hadn't coached before, other than Andy Reid. I think everybody else was a novice head coach in the NFL. And the way Rob went out and brought in North Turner, Ray Horton, kept Chris Tabor, three experienced coordinators. I just think that's critical for a young coach to surround himself with those type of people. And yes, Turner's a friend of his and everything, but he's respected around the league. You know, a lot of teams would love to have North Turner calling plays. And the other two guys were not guys that Rob knew. It wasn't like he went out and hired his buddies or he hired a guy that just came out of a certain philosophical school. These were the best people that he felt he had. I think the Browns special teams ranked second overall in some of those metrics of how they were done. And Tabor did a terrific job after the first year for him. It was a nightmare.
Right.
And so that's all good.
And, Terry, when you look at Rob Chudzinski, and you know very well when he was here in 2007, how really good this offense functioned in ways that the Browns haven't seen since and certainly didn't see before for a long time, and pretty much since their return in 1999. 07 is that year of demarcation of success driven by offense. How much stock do you put in Rob's ability to get that going then, and how much do you think it can impact what's happening now and going forward?
Well, if that's all he had on his resume, he could almost be like a Derek Anderson, Haley's Comet out of nowhere, you know, came and left. But the work he did, especially in Carolina with Cam Newton, to me was really impressive. Not just Newton's rookie year, but last season where Newton was just terrible for the first 6 to 7 games. And Rob then reworked the whole offense. And if you look at it, I've run these stats in the paper a couple times, but it was a night and day difference for Newton in the second half of the year, and Chudzinski again went in and changed things around. That's what I like about him. You know, he had a drop back stationary passer, and Anderson had some success with that, and Newton, he had a very athletic quarterback, which he had to keep adapting the offense to, and he kept doing that. I mean, when Newton was a rookie, more than 20% of the playbook came straight from the stuff he ran at Auburn.
Right.
Rather than saying, hey, I got to make this guy into my system quarterback, you know, he fixed the system to what they do there. And then also I ran some stats that about Whedon and the shotgun versus the under the center. And, you know, Whedon just wasn't fit for that offense, Vic, and he'll do much better in shotgun. And that's an offense both Turner and Chud run about 75% of the time when they throw the ball.
And, you know, and I think when you find reasons to be optimistic about what is ahead for this team, I think it starts with the idea that not only did this team bring in someone who was part of some past success, recent success, as you say, in Carolina, but past success here and or more further in the past with the Browns as an offensive coordinator, but the fact that he was able to attract North Turner, and job one for this team is to figure out how to get this quarterback thing right. And for the sake of discussion, we really have nothing else to really focus on other than making Brandon Whedon a better quarterback. I know they could get somebody else, and maybe they will, but as we talk right now, I think the best case still seems to be repairing or I don't even know if that's the right word, but getting Brandon Whedon up to where he needs to be an impactful quarterback.
Well, assuming Whedon's a quarterback this year, I think at the end of the season or even by midseason, we'll have a pretty good idea whether he's going to whether he's going to flourish or not. There won't be, well, if he was in a different system or a different guy calling plays. You know, all that stuff is gone now. They'll suit an offense to fit his strengths. And that'll be up to him or what he's going to do. So that part, I think, is really good. And I also like the fact that, North Turner has had a lot of success with the power running game. You got Richardson. You've got Ontario Hardesty. You know, perhaps they'll be interested in somebody else. I know they want to get some more depth at running back, whether it's they keep Jackson or Obanaya or get somebody else. I don't know. So that's all encouraging to me. I do hope they add a veteran receiver into the mix with all those young guys. I think that would help too.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer sports columnist, joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. Terry, as we go to the defensive side of the ball, the hiring of Ray Horton is so, I think, fascinating because, number one, the guy's ability, what he did in Arizona, taking a defense that was bewildered when he got there in 2011 and turning it around pretty quickly, but also all those principles and ideas that he brings from being with Dick LeBeau in both Cincinnati as a player and in Pittsburgh as an assistant coach. That seems to me like it could be a transformative thing for this defense.
I hope so. And Vic, you know, they do need to just settle on the type of defense they want to play. You know, we've gone from 3-4 to 4. Basically, since the team has come back, you've gone from 4-3 to 3-4 to 4-3 to 3-4 again. And so they need to settle in on what it is. And I do think that, you know, Rob Jasinski said the toughest things for him to face were the 3-4 defense. And I think that's part of the reason he wanted to switch to it, even though he knew there might be some problems doing it this year. He just thinks within a year or two that's the way to go. And clearly Horton's the guy that right out of that Steelers school, but who then implemented it as a coordinator in Arizona. And you could just break down the numbers, and it shows in the last, I think they were ranked 29th the first year he got there before he had a chance to do anything. And then after his first initial season, they went to like the 18th and then the 12th. So real improvement. And nobody sits there and says, boy, Arizona's loaded with great defensive players.
Right, right. And you know what's interesting is we tend to judge, at least I do, with defensive coaches, personality often comes into play because defense is such a reactive and I think driven by emotion element of the game, where you know that coordinator who brings a lot of fire to his style can have some influence. Now, we know Dick Geron here the last 2 years, very professorial kind of guy, yet you know had some results because he's a smart coordinator, put a pretty good scheme in place. But it's different with Ray Horton, I think, because he comes from the first of all, like Geron, yes, he's a former player, but I think he comes from a more aggressive mentality and mindset, probably because of the Steeler way or whatever it was, and just by nature, he's a guy who I think gets everybody around him very enthusiastic about what they're doing.
I think it's there's two components to it. I mean, one is knowledge and skill, like you mentioned. Nobody was going to get run through a wall for Dick Geron's personality, but I think with Geron, you felt this guy knew what he was doing. He was going to put me in a position to make plays, and that guys like that. But what they really like is a guy who could do that, and then a guy inspires them on top of it. Because, you know, before Geron, we had Rob Ryan, and Ryan was a lot of bluster and everything else. But sometimes they just didn't seem all that organized out there. So you want both, and I'm hoping that is what Ray Horton will bring. And I just also think, too, that it's important to have guys that are former players on your staff. I think Jasinski being that, well, granted, he didn't play in the NFL. He played at a very high level in college. I like guys that have been around the NFL, Vic, and I think you do, too. It's really tough for the newcomers to come in a key position like head coach or coordinator and to get the respect of these guys.
Yeah, I agree with you. As you see this week of a lot of personnel-driven discussion, because the Combine is coming up, we'll be there in a few days in Indianapolis. As you reflect, Terry, on where things are going with this new group in place running things in Berea, how do you sort of see, or how would you like to see some things proceed, and what would you see as the focal point of what this team needs to do to get better? Is it as simple as make sure Ray Horton's got the right guys to play the 3-4, or are you looking for anything else?
Well, I want to see. Frankly, I don't know how Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi are going to draft. I mean, they had that one draft in Philly in 98 or whatever that went very well together. But, you know, after that, Mike's draft history is very spotty, to say the least. And so I want to see how they function. For all this talk about whether Jimmy Haslam's living in Bratton, Knoxville, or both, In the end, what's really going to show how he's doing as an owner is how Banner and Lombardi perform on draft day, and also with whatever free agents they sign or don't sign. Because remember, in the NFL, like with the great salary cap being so tight, does it, it puts a premium on the guy who picks the players. Frankly, you can fix coaching staffs a lot easier, and you can fix rosters. And so I am hoping, you know, that, that Banner and Lombardi can do it. But they are the key guys. And I don't, I'm not saying I'm pessimistic or optimistic. I just don't know really what they'll do because we haven't seen them in action before.
You brought up Jimmy Haslam and where he's located and that that's been subject of a lot of discussion. My opinion is it's been way too much discussion and concern about something that I don't think is that big a deal. How do you feel about it as far as his going back to Pilot Flying J as CEO?
My biggest worry with Haslam is that he was going to go Jerry Jones on us and be there at every practice and everything else. I didn't want that because, frankly, how? Yes, Jerry Jones is a, quote, profitable owner, but is he a good owner, really? You know, it's kind of... It's sort of like when Art Modell was with Blanton Collier, he was really good, and then after that, he wasn't very good. And when Jerry Jones was with Jimmy Johnson, he was good, and then after that, he hadn't been very good. And maybe he'd be better off if Jerry owned a few truck stops where he wasn't always there. Sir, I'm serious about that.
I know what you mean. Yeah, the balance.
Because therefore, you're looking more at the big picture. You're not living and dying with every practice film and everything else. And this didn't bother me in the least. I was more worried he was going to be overreactive. I know one of the things that Dan Gilbert had to learn after buying the Cavaliers was to back off. I mean, he had the team for 3 days. He got it in the middle of the season. He wanted to fire Coach Paul Silas. They had to talk him out of it. He fired him 3 weeks later, and he ended up firing Jim Paxson and kind of retooling the team. But then he learned after that that, hey, you know, go back up to Detroit, run your business, and fly down. And you know, they have airplanes and cell phones and email. It's amazing how people communicate these days. So that it comes down to this. Did Jimmy Haslam pick the right management team in Mike Lombardi and Joe Banner? If he did, this thing's going to go really well. And if not, then he's going to have to, you know, basically look for another management team. But I'm willing to give these guys a chance. I'm not just sitting there waiting for them to fail or thinking, all right, if they make one move that doesn't work out, they don't know anything. I think you really have to look at the big picture of, you know, all their free agents, all their picks, and how it comes together. Because I do feel real good about the coaching staff because those guys got track records that are easier for me to get my mind around than the front office just because the front office hasn't been together.
Well, Terry, thank you so much for your knowledge, and we'll catch up with you again down the line.
All right, great. Thanks, Vic. Take care.
Yes, you too. Terry Pluto, sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.